You are listening to Salty Believer Unscripted, a conversation on Christian ministry and the Christian life.
This is Salty Believer Unscripted. I'm Josiah Walker.
I'm Brian Catherman.
And on today's episode, we're talking about the Bible. But not just the Bible.
We always talk about the Bible. I mean, this is a podcast for Everyday Joe. We want Everyday Joe to be reading, not you, Josiah, but you too. We want all of us to be reading the Bible. Every podcast is usually about the Bible. So come on, man.
Salty Believer Unscripted is a podcast for the Christian and the Christian journey to help the everyday Christian grow in his faith and wisdom of the Lord.
And we talk about the Bible.
We talk about the Bible. So I want to talk about the Bible, but just not the Bible. I want to talk about the Bible in light of media. You know, we live in an interesting time where there's movies and television shows about the Bible, whether it's The Chosen or The Ten Commandments or The Passion. I remember growing up as a kid and Charlton Heston and The Ten Commandments. Like, that was something you watched every year. It was a huge movie and a huge deal. But now it seems like there's lots of movies about the Bible, lots of cartoons about the Bible. What are some of the things on right now? There's The Passion movie, obviously, with Mel Gibson. A book review.
The King of Kings movie, which I still, at the point of the time we're recording this, I haven't seen it, but I do plan to go see it. I would like to review it. And I live in a town with one screen in the theater, in the one theater. So I've got to wait for the Minecraft movie to come out of the theater. Is King of Kings? I think King of Kings is next. I don't know. It shows up in the theater, I'm going to go watch it and I'll probably do a review.
When I was a kid, there was a movie called The Prince of Egypt. You know about the
X-Men? Val Kilmer's in that.
Oh, yeah. And there's a show on Amazon now, too. Is it The Days of David or The House of David?
It's something David.
The House of David. And so there are a lot of options right now. So I guess the question that our listeners have and that we want to seek to answer today is, should Christians watch these shows and view these things? Some of them are good. Some are bad. I remember the 2014 movie Noah with Russell Crowe.
I can't believe you know Noah's the year name, that came out.
I don't know if there was any Bible in that movie except the word Noah. So
yeah, let me say this. There was a couple things. I do not recommend this movie to anybody. It had so many disastrous Hollywood takes on rebranding and recasting the story. However, I do want to share that there was something about that movie that really helped me think differently, and I think rightly so, about the flood and about Noah. Number one, his visions were like, it took him a bit to work out his visions. He was having these visions where it's like, wait, I'm seeing people flooded. Instead of it just like in our mind, we get the, hey, God just suddenly starts talking. Noah's like, hey, no problem. But I mean, that's what we think is happening.
Right.
But usually when we say God said whatever, there is a sense of maybe he was kind of working it out and trying to make sense of, what do you mean flood? I don't even know what that much water looks like. And it was interesting to watch the character try to wrestle through that, number one. Number two, when the door was closed, the flood is happening, the ship is, you know, the ark is getting ready to start rising, and people are just clawing and scratching at the sides, banging off the sides, screaming as the flood is happening. And that happens for a little bit in that scene, and then as a little more time passes, you don't hear the screams anymore. You just hear some things crashing up and down the side of the ark, and it's just this horrific, terrible thing. And you go, wow, that was a lot of death. Everybody Noah knew is dead, right? All the humanity on the earth is dead, and they captured that in a pretty good way. And then finally, he gets off the ark, and you realize why he has so much PTSD. You're like, whoa, Noah did go through a lot. Okay, so those things, that's three things I found helpful for me to think about, certainly not in the way that Hollywood portrayed him, but helpful to think about. But then every other thing in that movie was so bad that it would have just jacked up the whole story. So unless you're really reading the Bible yourself and thinking deeply about it, it's going to send you off into crazy town.
Well, that's what's hard about this kind of stuff, right? And how do you navigate through that? Because that is good to know. Like, sometimes we just read through the Bible and it's just kind of matter of fact, and we don't stop to think, hey, did Noah wrestle with God about this issue? Did he struggle with building the ark?
Yeah, why did he plant a vineyard and get drunk? Maybe because he had massive PTSD.
Right? Like, we don't know. But then there's the flip side of that, where sometimes things are added into these things that aren't in the Bible. Like, I remember in one of the Chosen episodes, Christ says, I am the law.
Oh, yeah. That,
but he never said that in the Bible.
You're referencing one of our most frequently hit blog posts on saltybeliever.com. It is Jesus, the Law of Moses. Man, that thing just, I mean, that still gets a, I still get emails. Some love the post, some hate the post. I get some hate mail from that still.
Well, and that's why I bring it up, because that was such a popular blog post on our website. And so, you know that our listeners are watching these shows. And so, is it wrong to watch these things? Is that a Second Commandment violation to watch The Chosen?
I think some people, their conscience would say yes, right? Or the Passion of the Christ, or that Matthew movie that where they go through every verse, or some people take that to cartoons, some people take that to the Jesus Storybook Bible. Like there should be no, I'll just you shall make for yourself no carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the sea. You shall not bow down to serve them. And so the concept here is like, well, you're creating a likeness, and then I'm worshiping that likeness. Now I would argue, I don't think having that necessary, like having a cartoon picture of a Jesus to try to help teach 3-year-olds who can't read, I don't know if they're going to bow down and worship that cartoon. That being said, I know many people who their theology is greatly influenced by, tomatoes and cucumbers or The Chosen. I know people that know season and episode number better than they know chapter and verse when it comes to Jesus. And they'll say, oh, well, isn't it this? And isn't it true that Matthew might have had autism? And I'm like, where are you even getting that? Oh, because you saw it in a show. And didn't Mary write a gospel? No, that's a pseudepigrapha, like false whatever. Didn't all of that kind of stuff, right? So it really depends on conscience, but also how much of that is, how much is the media shaping what you think rather than the Bible. In fact, I remember as a kid, because I didn't grow up a Christian, I was absolutely convinced that Moses threw the Ten Commandments into the golden calf and the whole thing exploded. Right? And then I'm reading, as I become I'm a college student and I'm really interested in the Bible and I'm reading the Bible for the first time. And wait, that's not the what? This Charlton Heston thing, that's not right.
Well, and that's what's hard. Like, I mean, I grew up in the church. I grew up a Christian, and so I grew up watching VeggieTales, and I've seen these memes floating around that say, you know what my parents thought I saw in VeggieTales, and it shows the tomato and the cucumber talking about the Bible verse for the day. And then it says what I remember from VeggieTales, and it's always like the hairbrush song or the I'm His Cheeseburger
The
song. So
silly, wait, you know what's weird? Go ahead, I interrupted you. Go
no,
ahead.
I just so like I enjoyed those things as a kid. So like if Daniel the intern were here, I'd ask him like, did you watch cartoons about Jesus? Did any of those help you
Oh,
as you were
well,
kind of growing in your faith?
Daniel the intern is here. We should ask him. Daniel the intern, let's come back from behind the scenes and come onto the scene and get into the
He's
podcast.
filing
Pull up
paperwork
your,
right
get
now,
away
but
from home.
Daniel.
Come here. Stop working on getting me coffee. And so what's the question, Josiah?
Daniel, did you watch cartoons or shows about Jesus as a kid that have shaped your theology, that helped you grow in your faith, or did you feel like it was a waste of your time looking back on it?
I did watch VeggieTales. I think it got me interested, but I don't think I remember most of the theology that came with it, just because it wasn't like super
So what you're saying is those Jonas
centrality
sailors were
for.
not pirates.
Yeah.
I don't think they were peas either. But you
No.
watch some other shows like Lamplighters or something that talk
Oh,
about
yeah.
missionaries and like Jim
Torchlighters.
Elliott.
The Torchlighter series with the missionaries and the martyrs, I think those are really influential in your thinking because I think that helped move you towards a calling to want to be in ministry, right? Yeah, so that like you got to kind of take these things,
But
with yeah, it's tricky.
there's
But
pros
really,
and cons, right? Like, I
yeah.
remember Daniel, the intern's older brother, had a fish named Jim Elliot, and I didn't even know who Jim Elliot was.
Right, because
He
we were
was
watching those
watching
cartoons.
cartoons, and so he knew about the missionary. And so these are helpful resources, but I think you hit the nail on the head where you said, is it shaping our theology of the Bible, or is the Bible shaping, are they reinforcing what we already know about the Bible?
And so I think I read somewhere, Phil Vischer, the guy who created VeggieTales, started working on future projects, and he has, I believe, said some things about how he realizes, he needed more gospel connection, he needed more Christocentric work, he needed more theologically grounded work because years of seeing what we just described, I think, has motivated him to create some different things. That are really helpful, but we all kind of know that person who is definitely more shaped by what they've seen in media, or they say things like, I can't tell you how many times we'd have kids come out on mission trips or do whatever when we were in Utah, and they'd say something about Moses floating down the Nile River with a hippo and whatever. And like, it just says the basket was placed in the reeds, and then where the basket was placed, the Egyptian people pulled it out of the water. And there's like, it wasn't floating down the river. It wasn't a
Right.
song. It wasn't, but that, and people are like, no, it is. And we'd look it up and they go, oh. And I knew, good and well, oh, the Prince of Egypt has influenced your theology here. Thank you, Disney.
And that's where I think, really, at the end of the day, it comes back to a balanced diet. One thing about our podcast being unscripted is we kind of end up all over the place. So, if you have issues with Second Commandment violations and that's a big conviction for you, I think you should stick to your convictions.
Absolutely.
But I also think that with technology, there's always good and bad things. And so we've seen where cartoons can be helpful, but they can also be harmful in our understanding of scripture,
Let me give you a little triage that I think might be a helpful way to measure where you're at. If you're in a position where you can, in a healthy way, critique what you think may or be right or wrong, oh, that's artistic license. That's not in the Bible. If you can say that, oh, like we went to the Ark Encounter and you walk through that and they have this big sign, that says, we had to make some artistic decisions because not everything is perfectly described in the Bible. And so some things are going to be artistic decisions. Some things are described in the Bible. They do a pretty good job of putting the descriptions of the Bible. They'll put verses up in description. But if you couldn't walk through there and say, well, this was not a part, this isn't anti, but it's not pro. They had to make some artistic decision. If you don't know where the artistic decision is being made, you might be on some dangerous ground. If you're watching The Chosen, and you can't solidly say, wow, Jesus never said that. Wow, there isn't a, that's not the case. Wow, we don't have any statement that says this, that, or the other thing, or whatever. Then if you can't do that, you might want to pick up your Bible and really start reading through the material better and get to know that better. If that would be probably my warning, is if you can't tell where the media has deviated. If you don't know, if you go watch the Russell Crowe Noah movie and you don't realize that there weren't giant rock creatures that built the ark, you are should not be watching that show. You should be reading your Bible. Right.
It's using discernment, right? Like, we all know that famous painting of the Last Supper where they're all sitting on the same side of the table. That's probably not what took place. Nobody was posing for that picture to be took or drawn. And so it's using that same discernment when we watch things. So, as a new believer, would you say, don't ever watch this stuff? Or would you just say, utilize that as a secondary means after maybe reading the Gospel of Matthew first?
So it's interesting you brought up Matthew as an example because I was quite a bit younger. I know the name of the movie is Matthew, which is not the most helpful, but it goes through using the NIV 84. All the lines in the movie are actually scripture and it has a scripture reference down below. It's kind of a lower budget movie. I think that helped me. The Jesus is really a happy, he portrays Jesus well. I think that actually infused a passion in me to want to read the book because I kept seeing the references just rolling down on the bottom of the screen the whole time. And everything that's said is from scripture. They don't add anything extra, but you're still seeing pictures that may or may not be even remotely right. So you got to remember that. But I think for me as a new believer, it sort of invigorated me to learn more about Jesus. When I go back at it now, I'm in a position where I go, well, that's interesting. I don't know. Now I can critique. But to read along and to take in that material, I think is helpful. The Jesus Storybook Bible. If you don't know the whole story of the Bible, you've never encountered that at all. Whether you're an adult or a child, that's a good way to get a really fast snapshot. Now, there are people that get really frustrated because there's a cartoon drawing of Jesus and it's portraying Jesus in an artistic way. I can promise you that Jesus was not actually a cartoon. But there are some people that they're going to be really kind of offended that we would even suggest portraying Jesus as a cartoon. So you just got to go with your conscience. I'm not going to tell someone they're right or wrong. I'm going to say the motives are the issue, what we're teaching is the issue, how we're working through this. Because my kids are three, reading the Jesus Storybook Bible was pretty helpful. When my kids are 15, or even 10, my daughter's 10, having their own Bible and learning is we've graduated from that media, which was the only way they could really get it, to a different media, which is the Word of God and a Bible. And honestly, it's still a translation. They're still being helped, right? So you got to remember that. Their translation is not in the original Greek and Hebrew that my kids are reading. So we're using these resources. So you use the media resource well. The tricky part here is when we don't really catch what's going on and we start to take on actually some heresy. And I'm a little concerned, you know, I'm going to pick a little bit on Angel Studio here, partly because we came from Utah, talked to lots of LDS people that were very excited about Angel Studio, about The Chosen, and that nothing in The Chosen they found even remotely offensive, which does make me wonder, how does an LDS gospel line up with this without any issue? There's Mormons and Catholics and all kinds of people working on that, and what's going to be the take here? But then I'm watching King of Kings trailers, and I'm hearing a little bit about this, and I suspect we're going to see a presentation when I go to review that movie that's going to be a moralistic gospel, because I did a video on Salty Believer's YouTube channel about the book, The Life of Our Lord by Charles Dickens, and I didn't get into it in that one because I was going to save it for the video on King of Kings movie, but it's a very moralistic Jesus. Follow this good moral man, and you're going to have a good life, and that good life is probably going to save you. But if you really were to go through it, the necessity of why Christ had to die doesn't come out in a very strong way at all in The Life of Our Lord. And I've since heard that, you know, Charles Dickens may have been a universalist or something and didn't have a view that there was a necessity of death for sin, or maybe there wasn't a sin nature. I don't know. But here's the deal. If you don't know and you're not reading the Bible well and you don't understand sin or sin nature, you go watch The King of Kings. On the one hand, maybe it gets you interested in Jesus for the first time ever.
Sure.
On the other, maybe it reinforces you've been a Christian for a long time. You get all of your discipleship from media, so you just buy a hook, line, and sinker and don't even know where the gospel's missing in the movie. I don't know. We'll find out when we go watch it, right? But,
yeah, no,
but I think it's just like VeggieTales. Wait a minute. This can't be right.
Right. Is everything in the Jesus Storybook Bible accurate? No. You know, there's the thing in there about the prodigal son eating from the pig's trough, which it doesn't say in scripture that he does that.
Right.
But it's a helpful imagery for a child. So that video that you talked about, I Googled it. I pulled up my old intern days.
And hey, before you go there real quick, I think it does say he was tempted to steal the pods or something like that from the pigs.
Right. No, right? He was tempted for sure.
So there's something there. But that
doesn't say he actually ate. So could he have ate? Maybe.
Well, so here's the deal. That's what I was going to get at, is if you're trying to communicate something to children – and you have to draw a picture, or you're trying to write something. Well, is it a pig trough? Is it this? Well, we could even go to the manger. Is it a stone manger that Mary laid him in? Is it a wooden thing? Was it in a cave? Was it in a shack? If you're trying to film a video shot of it,
right,
or you even want to draw a picture of it or a painting of it or whatever, you have to make decisions. Right. But the reason, I mean, we have the Word of God in the form that we have. That's what is inspired by God. It's not in a movie. It's not in a TV show. It's written in this format for this purpose, for this reason. When we want to change mediums, we now have to try to answer some questions, and it's almost like translating it into another medium rather than another language. And if you want to show a picture, you're going to have to, is it stone? Is it wood? Is there a pig trough? Is there this? Is there that? Right? Like, who knows? That's part of the
issue. Absolutely. Well, and it's important to understand, too, that, you know, some of these movies and things are made by Hollywood and people just looking to make a dollar.
Yep.
Some of these movies and cartoons and things are made by people who are trying to help people grow in their faith.
That's
so just
right.
Like you would use discernment to go to Amazon and pick a book for a Bible study or something about a topic in the Bible, you need to use discernment when you're viewing these things.
Sometimes it's helpful for me. Like, I think Kevin DeYoung's got that biggest, I can never get the title right.
Yeah, the biggest storybook Bible.
Yeah, and the cartoons are really like, they draw cartoons. And they're really choppy and edgy, so there's no way you're going to believe that they're like even remotely real. I think that's helpful, right? Anyway, you did something in your internship days.
I channeled my former intern self and Googled that Matthew movie that you were talking about while we were here recording the podcast, and it is just called The Gospel According to Matthew. And I think what I really like about that is what you mentioned. It utilizes scripture for most of the dialogue, if not all the dialogue.
Oh, it's all the dialogue. So like, So if you've never seen it, you've got Matthew and he's talking to scribes to get the book written. And that's where the narration comes from. And then when the words are coming out, all of the script is the words of the Bible. You know, now they're still delivering it in a certain way. Was Jesus delivering this with a sense of rebuke, a sense of encouragement, a sense of sadness? He's still got to make decisions.
Right.
And we do too when we read it.
Absolutely. So, you know, primarily, you should probably read the Gospel of Matthew. Secondary, if you're looking to grow, you could watch that movie, The Gospel According to Matthew. That might be a better option than maybe watching The Chosen. Yeah. But if watching The Chosen gets you excited to read more of Scripture, then praise God, you know, because at the end of the day, it's important that we're just in Scripture and in God's Word and studying God's Word.
That's right. That's right. So, and we've talked about lots of other, I mean, there's lots of movies, lots of video footage, lots of media, lots, there's music. We have tons of, we didn't even talk about songs. How many songs have shaped our theology where you're like, wait, is that how that, wait, is that how the scripture says it? Wait, is it? And some of that stuff gets that wrong too. So we got songs and artistic.
We could do a whole nother episode on music.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, all of these different media things are a translation from one medium into another medium, and translators are traitors. They got to make decisions. And so, I mean, songs are trying to make things rhyme. I don't know if you listen to the Psalm Project Psalms.
No.
Have you caught that? So there's a group of people that are putting all of the Psalms to music, and some of them are absolutely outstanding. They are fantastic. Some of them, I don't know. But they're just going through the Psalm, and they're working through it, and so you can sing the Psalm like a worship song. Now, here's the deal, though, that gets a little tricky with this. I've noticed sometimes they'll use words from different translations.
Ooh.
So they kind of mix and match translations. Well, you know why? Because they got to make it rhyme in English, or they got to make it, like, they have to make decisions. The meter and the song, like, you got to do that. And so, you know, it's interesting when we start translating one medium to another. That's the issue, I think. And these are where we need to start making choices. But if you really, really bag on that, then you better be reading in the original Greek and Hebrew, because even our translations into another language have to make some choices, right?
Right, 100%.
Tricky deal. It's a real tricky deal. So I don't think we've answered the question. What was the original question? I don't even remember.
It wasn't even just a question. It was just the topic of, like, the Bible and media, and should Christians be participating in this media as far as movies and television shows about the Bible, or should we only stick to the Bible?
And, you know, I think we've learned one thing that was really valuable. Those cartoons about missionaries that weren't even biblical, but they were telling the stories of church history, might have caused Daniel the intern to want to say, look, I want to be in ministry, and more than anything in this season of my life, I want to be an intern on Salty Believer Unscripted. Is that right, Daniel? Daniel the intern?
Pretty accurate.
Well, I would love to hear our listeners' feedback. Maybe you have some comments. Maybe you've watched these shows, and like Brian, you've gone, wait a minute, the Ten Commandments did not explode. You know, I remember the time when I actually sat down and read the Bible, and I realized that I had spent most of my life reading more books about the Bible than the actual Bible, and some of those guys got it wrong. So I want to leave us with this verse from God's Word, Psalm 111, verse 2. The Lord's works are great, studied by all who delight in Him. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. Salty Believer Unscripted is a production of saltybeliever.com. Visit the website to find more resources, like the podcast you've just listened to.